Last month, Representative Charles Rangel proposed that we reintroduce the draft. Rangel's proposal has inspired heated discussions that recall the dissension over the Vietnam-era draft, which all agree was a failure. But that draft failed because it was not universal. Women, of course, were exempted. There were college deferments. Those who could afford it went to college, while their peers often found themselves slogging through an Asian jungle. Young men with political connections snatched up slots in the National Guard, serving at home, far from Vietnam. Almost lost in the clamor following Rangel's proposal is a simple truth. A truly universal draft would strengthen our country, our armed forces, and our democracy. Military service is a responsibility that should fall on everyone's shoulders, rich and poor, black and white, and this includes women. If we women want to claim our rights as American citizens, we must also bear our responsibility to protect those rights. Minority groups have long understood the positive relationship between military service and political rights. From African Americans to Irish Americans to Japanese Americans, all had high service rates despite discrimination. And because of it, the armed forces were often ahead of civil society, most notably when the Truman administration desegregated the services after World War II, 15 years before Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. A final argument for universal conscription is that it would foster healthier relations between civilians and the military, a vital consideration for any democracy. For the past generation, we have had a volunteer force structure. Fewer Americans have any experience in our military, a trend that is especially pronounced in our government officials. This knowledge gap has dangerous consequences. On the one hand, the Pentagon can shape the defense policy debate by controlling information. On the other hand, our political leaders do not know what force can and, more importantly, cannot do. Contrast this with the 50s, when a substantial number of citizens, from President Eisenhower to Jimmy Stewart to your neighbor, had a working knowledge of the military resulting from their own wartime service. Not only have we lost contact with military capabilities, but we have lost touch with our soldiers, seamen, and airmen as well. And now there might not be enough soldiers to meet all of our assigned missions. A universal draft would increase the number of soldiers, but it might also force the administration to be more circumspect about taking on so many military commitments. Moreover, the possibility that we, or our sons and daughters, could be called upon to fight might make us, as citizens, shake off our apathy and pay closer attention to the rest of the world. We're more likely to ask, is this worth dying for? The argument against conscription, at least from the military, is that volunteers have higher morale and less turnover. On the surface, these are good arguments. The problem lies in the original motivation of the volunteers. Before the September 11th attacks, patriotism and a willingness to fight were not the main draw. Instead, pay, benefits, training, scholarships, and a chance to see the world were the carrots dangled by recruiters. How good is the morale of soldiers who didn't sign up to fight and die in the desert, but instead wanted to be trained as a mechanic or pay for college? Of course, after September 11th, our servicemen felt the pull of patriotism regardless of why they signed up. But morale has more to do with the cause we are fighting for than whether we volunteered or were drafted. Universal conscription ensures responsibility. The government must listen to citizens, and citizens must actively participate in government and our military. To put it another way, if we want to be heard, we must serve.